Jimbo Paris, and you are listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.
All right. Hello, everyone. I am Jimbo Paris. Welcome again to the Jimbo Paris Show. So today we have Thomas Helfrich, and he's essentially the CEO of a digital marketing agency called Instantly Relevant. And additionally, he's also a part of the AI Nerd podcast, and he's a host in that podcast. So there's a lot of interesting things about him, and we're going to learn a lot about him because, again, I'm a massive fan of marketing in all forms of digital marketing.
Well, hello, sir. How are you?
Wow. I really like the background and the logo. Very impressive stuff.
You know, there's only a team that I had that made. Wait, they didn't make it. Thank you. Okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. So this show is going to be about you. And the first question I'm going to ask is, what do you specifically do?
I do a few things, but specifically to Instantly Relevant. I lead a company that I founded a few years ago, and we really focus on primarily founders, entrepreneurs, startups to help them be a little more lean when they market, a little more effective, and do it in a way that is best serving the needs of that kind of that group of the founder, entrepreneur, and you know, startup. We're saying maybe pre-IPO startup.
Okay. What path did you take to get here today?
My background has led me kind of born out of the dot-com era. I definitely remember myself being a better developer than I was, but I've always spoken well about technology, which takes you on that consulting advisory path. And during that time, in the last 10 years, developed a good expertise around intelligent automation and leveraging AI to automate process or at least augment them. So I took some of the principles of intelligent automation for marketing. And effectively, in intelligent automation, you automate a process with the intent to accelerate a human, not replace them. At least that's my point of view. And you leverage the right human at the right technology at the right time. And you can really do a lot more by getting rid of the mundane and things that can be easily repeated with technology. That's how I got to digital marketing, because I saw a big problem here.
And what big problems do you solve?
Well, it's the problem of time to value to cost. So when I was, going through the ranks of corporate world of director, manager, whatever, VP, a CTO of nearly a billion-dollar services company, one of the biggest challenges was always creating content and marketing that content. And it always seemed to take forever. I mean, like to take an idea from, your mouth to a piece of paper took weeks, months. Give me one second, I need a cough here. Don't know why. But the big problem was it took forever to take an idea and get it out in content. And by the time it got there, I noticed that marketing always tended to take too long and make it too markety, if you will, salesy. And it lost its tonality and personality of the kind of the expert that made it, like, either it be for myself or somebody else. And I looked at that. I was like, why is there $3 million a year going out on marketing spend in salaries? And I'm thinking, why does it take 2 months to put an article out or a month to do a blog? I go, there's tons of technology to accelerate this. And then, so I just started experimenting with actually AI Nerd for how we could use, technology to accelerate content creation. And then saw that we could do it and, monetize the blog there. And then looked at the marketing industry and said, well, there's a lot of just traditional, the term we use is we want to eliminate the time suck and financial sinkhole, traditional cliche marketing, because there's just so much waste. And I saw that as just a process and expert in automating. So I just said, we can use technology to accelerate where we need to create content, to help drive engagement, to help manage social media, help, create leads and, appointment setting, all the things that you go from, the person you're trying to meet to interacting with them to closing as a deal. And our ideas were, let's build trust, let's build relevance, let's build some loyalty in everything we do with the customer, your customer's customer and focus in mind, and leverage technology wherever you need to accelerate that, lower the costs, and improve the output.
So building trust, accelerating, the output, those are all very big things, to offer to a company through services. But what services does your company provide?
Yeah, there's three kind of main buckets. We create things, we'll manage things, and we'll help generate leads. And the create things can be from pitch decks, sales collateral, posts, video production, audio, things like that, drone flybys if you really want, to managing social media and your engagements and your authenticity of how you interact. So those things are really designed to create trust and relevance, but do it in a way that saves you a ton of time so you can do higher value activities. And then the outreach of, that's great, your marketing, but marketing is really not worth anything unless you drive leads, right? And so you want to try to make sure you're doing some appointment settings, you're trying to get leads for individuals. We tend to focus more on B2B. B2C has a slightly different tonality and approach to marketing, but then and it's often around SaaS products, things like that. But we tend to focus on the B2B side or the long tail storytelling and pieces like that. But create, manage, and really find your leads.
So you create things, you manage things, and then you essentially lead and promote them. That's a basic social media strategy for B2B marketing. And maybe this is just me, but I expected it to be a bit more complex than that, coming from a guy like you.
Well, how it's done is different from what we offer, right? So what I find is, if you think about it differently, we're a marketing department fractionally given. And so when you hire us, you have a whole marketing department. You have everything you need to create, manage, do, and you give, you know, executive leadership and me, if you need it, to help your marketing team or be your marketing team. So behind the scenes is a lot of technology. You know, there's a lot of AI. We use every GPT-3 writing on the planet. We use things like Fathom Video, and we use Otter and Quillbot and Grammarly and all the other things that go along to help create content better and faster. And here's the reality. The customers don't care. What they care about is getting content and engagement and leads in a way that has good value for the investment. It has some type of measurable results, and it doesn't add to their day and the time they need. It frees time for them. How you deliver it, though interesting to me and the team, we used to lead with the AI story. People don't care. They care about what they get. They care about the outcome, which is what we care about. How we go about doing that is really dependent on what they're trying to achieve and what technologies we need to bring in, what experts we need to bring in, because that's somewhat, it's transparent, but the customers don't care. They just want what they achieve their goals. And we figure out the ways to go do that as fast and as lean and as effective as possible.
What makes you stand out from other digital marketing agents?
I think the term that we use on we used to lead on our homepage, but I've moved it to the about page, is we actually give a shit. I mean, like, that's it. I mean, we actually care. And I mean that from a standpoint that we tell any of our customers, if you don't ever treat us like a vendor, because we'll never act like one. We'll act like a team member. We'll be a team member. We'll call your baby ugly if we need to. And we'll tell you when you have a great idea. But we stand out because that core personality that we hire to and how we approach every problem of do more, give more. You know, SLAs are there for the purposes of contracts, but we try to give 25, 30% more on every person we can. If we have the bandwidth, we do. That's one. Second, given how I've set up the methodology of how we do the marketing to be as straightforward and effective and uncomplicated as possible, we know how to use the right technology, and I know how to pair it with the right person. And we've tied the team together so they know how to cover each other and work with each other so we can get more done with more effect. And knowing how to leverage technology in the context of something that's human led is incredibly important and powerful, because these AI technologies, artificial intelligence, I think of as augmented intelligence or advanced or accelerating intelligence, because a human is the intelligence behind it. And the AI piece just pushes you forward if you know how to leverage it correctly. And that's a big advantage for us, because it keeps the investment needed from the customer down. It increases the speed and quality and the volume of content and engagement we can drive. And at the same time, we can do things very fast without having to automate them and keep things in brand. We try not to, honestly, I don't try to automate a whole lot with marketing that doesn't need to be, because you have to protect your brand as part of this. And this is where AI is, it can be a bad thing for your organization if you're doing too much of it, because your brand can become very flat or offensive and other things if you're not keeping guidelines and some methodologies around it.
Okay. Now, this is another question I have. Forgive me if this is a bit of a basic question, but what is AI?
Artificial intelligence is a set of technologies that leverage a lot of data. They use things like machine learning and other types of technologies to do things humans can't. Jokingly, we say that AI is everything you can't do yet, but it's somewhat complex in how you build it. But when you apply AI or artificial intelligence to a very narrow, deep problem, it's very effective. It's where it gets bad and it gets a rep is when it gets too wide. But AI is this artificial intelligence. It's leveraging data, machine learning, and some other models, if you will, on top of that to achieve what humans couldn't do at scale.
Okay. Now, you're a very successful man in your field, and you do have a degree, I believe, a BS in business administration. What advice would you give to people who would like to start their own marketing agency in the future? What advice would you give to them education-wise?
Yeah, I'm not sure education's needed. I think what you need to start your own business, don't go into debt, first of all. That's a killer to any business. If you're trying to start your own business, your hope is to be an entrepreneur, then do everything you can to get a free education of the best quality. So if that's state school, instead of going to the one you really want, then go there. If it's the local community college and it helps you get, go for free. And the reason I say that is because not having debt gives you freedom to take the hit you're going to need to as you build a business when you're not making revenue day one. If you come out with debt and car loans and all the other things, you're going to have to get a job to pay those things. Or you'll have to burn through savings to go do that. And that same money that you could have been spending towards your own investment, your own piece, is now being spent on something else that has value. You should get a degree if you think it's going to help. Focus on the entrepreneur side, the marketing side, learn the basics, learn the terminology, but don't overspend on it. Get out, do some research, meet people, talk to thought leaders, influencers in your industry. Find what your better mousetrap will be or how you'll do it different or how you think you can just replicate what's there and get started. But from an education standpoint, learn what you need to, but most of the learning is going to come after school. That's for sure. My biggest advice, don't go into debt if you don't have to.
Okay. Okay. So did an education actually help you?
It did to get my first job and some of the basics of coding and things like that. The thing in education I'd say that does matter is the network you can develop. So, that's one of the key things you'll need to learn as an entrepreneur is developing a network and staying up with it and following up with it in an authentic way. It matures you to some degree if you need it when you go away to college, if that's how you're going to do it. But I don't think it's absolutely necessary. The price is starting to become too expensive, quite honestly, for what you'll do, especially if you want to go on. If your intent is to be an entrepreneur, get your degree to some level. But it really depends on what you're doing. If you're doing a marketing degree, and marketing would help, no doubt. Does it help you be an entrepreneur? Probably not. If you're going to be a computer scientist, yeah, you might want to take some, computer science. That stuff kind of help. But when it comes to marketing, I'd say just get what you need to learn a bit and then get out in the world and get your MBA in the school of life, right?
Okay. What are your best client success?
Wow. So the ones that I think have been the best are the ones that are growing their business without having to expend marketing in anymore. So but the ones that I like, and it's more of a class, they have a different way of thinking coming into it. And the ones I see absolutely flourish are the ones that are getting scale in the content creation, scale in the social media management. They're building brand awareness. They're generating leads. And they have a fixed cost for marketing that's not going up as they do it. So they need more, they get more. And as they grow, we're building more for them. And those success stories where, they're raising their kind of executive eminence as a founder or they've increased their brand awareness and they've increased their following or their views and things like that significantly. That mentality, when someone has it, like, I'm going to do this without hiring a bunch of people, just one marketing lead, they have done so well for themselves. We've helped generate revenue opportunities in the millions in our 2 years for companies. Do they always close them? No, but they get the opportunities and sometimes they do. And that's just a great thing when the stuff that you've created, the social media engagement you've driven or the leads you've generated present a pipeline, a new pipeline opportunity or a closed deal. It usually stems from the mentality that they want to do that without having to inflate and replicate their marketing department over and over.
Right. So are you saying most companies that are struggling have to replicate?
What I see is a lot of times is a bunch of bloat in marketing departments where you'll have, maybe 1500 employees in the company and there'll be like 15 marketing people, half of which are managers. And you're like, why? Like, why is there so much? And there's, a person lined up to each technology to go run it. And so I've seen this where they keep endlessly hiring a content writer. They keep hiring another manager and then a coordinator. And it's like, these aren't honestly full-time jobs. Often a lot of fake work or a lot of BS meetings are created around that. there's just a much more effective way to do that if you know how to leverage technology, labor arbitrage, and a better strategy. It's a little more focused and just not, you know, a lot of times I see a lot of marketing people in corporate only care about KPIs for the intent of keeping their job so they can say, hey, sales isn't closing. And there's always this rift and this friction between sometimes sales and marketing, because sales is like, these leads are crap. And marketing's like, they can't sell. And then, well, no, product's not good enough. And then there's this defensive mechanism that comes up that creates a lot of noise for measuring everything to the nth degree so you can keep your job and show that you're adding value. That whole dilemma just creates waste. And that's what we cut through, is this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to go target. This will be effective. And we'll measure it to the minimal so you don't spend money and time doing that. And then you adjust and you be agile and you be quick with it. It's aligned to a better strategy. And the more noise you can reduce, the faster it goes and the better it goes for you, because you can pivot. You don't waste money. You don't waste investment. And you don't waste time and other resources.
Okay. Now, again, not everyone here is a marketing expert. So what is KPI? Could you explain that?
Like a key performance indicator, like your click-through rate or your open rate or your conversions and things like these metrics that are measured. They are important. Don't get me wrong. There are things in marketing, even if you're an individual and you're trying to grow your personal brand, don't focus on the vanity metrics of followers and views. You know, there's a lot of FOMO with, oh, I have, you know, a million followers, or I have this many views on a post. Oftentimes that doesn't translate to business. That just becomes a vanity metric. Hey, cool. Look at me. I got, you know, 30 million views on a TikTok. What business did it create? And so the KPIs that matter now are really, you know, how many inbound leads are we just getting from the content? So if you get 4 inbound leads off of 30 views on a post, that's fantastic. People would say, oh, you need to get 300. I'm like, well, cool. If you can find 300 relevant viewers of that content. But if you build content in a very micro strategy way, sometimes it's not always a trick, but the point being is the KPI, the key performance indicator doesn't need to be followers and views. It should be what kind of leads are produced. You know, what kind of interactions am I actually getting that are authentic? What kind of conversations am I having? Or what kind of, you know, traffic am I seeing on my landing page? Those things are important, less so than we gained 50,000 followers this month. So what? But if you didn't get any revenue from it, it doesn't matter. So it's the wrong metric.
You know, the more I speak to you, the more different I realize you and your business really are. Like most marketing agencies and most people who pitch marketing in general focus entirely on, you know, KPIs and how many followers, how many likes, how many comments are you getting, engagement rates. There are all kinds of software out there tracking those things, but you're unique because, again, you do somewhat focus on those, but you really prioritize that lead generation. And, you know, that is really, really fascinating.
It's prioritizing what matters, which are revenue opportunities. And sometimes those aren't specifically a lead, but what it is in some businesses, right, is you've presented at a conference, whatever else, and we call it executive eminence. This is an example. If you don't have the personal brand image, your corporate brand image, you don't have thought leadership or messaging or content or some kind of strategy, when they come check you out, the first thing people do when they see you speak or they see an article is they check out you. They Google you. They see what it is. If you don't kind of have all that and you've had a consistent flow of content that's relevant to them, you won't check out. And if you don't check out and you're in a competitive situation to sell your services or be hired or whatever, you're going to lose. So you have to have this kind of executive eminence built up to launch you forward ahead of others, to be differentiated, to be remembered, to be sought after. And our approach is start with some of those fundamentals. You know, don't jump right into ads. Don't jump right into, you know, even speaking until you've kind of got these basics blocking and tackling and other things done. It just blows me away sometimes of how fast people want to go spend money in ads. And how much money they waste doing it. And it's like, just you can get there pretty quickly, but there's a lot of stuff that people miss ahead of time. Differentiators, unique selling propositions, a brand that has something that remembers. There's so many things that need to happen prior while you're still creating content to help you do this. And one of the fundamental differences we think, you know, and I didn't come up with this quote, but I am stealing it from the cohort of people I was in, is there's 1,000 ways you can die, but there's only one that's going to allow you to get leads after you're dead, which is really good content that's steadily being produced in a very organic way. Because that way your company is getting sustainable and you're becoming relevant for longer. And the longer something's out there living, the more powerful it's going to become for you. So we approach the problem slightly different with the goal in mind and the fundamentals in place. And then we go as fast as we need to when the timing is right, so you don't waste investment.
How do you create a good influencer in a marketing strategy?
it starts with authenticity, right? So you have to be able to put in, and I would call it influencer. Maybe I'll reuse the word evangelist. It might be a better. So the lead people should be evangelists of the company in a way that's consistent across profiles. I am one who believes that your own profile is your own profile. But when you're an executive in a company or you're a founder, you're going to need to tie some things into it a bit to make it successful. And to do that, it's a consistent flow of the look, the feel, the things you say and how you say them, you know, so they're in your own personality, but in the correct image out there, sharing the right amount of, let's say, motivational things versus we do this versus, you know, some type of fact-based stuff. It's getting the content mix right. It's how you engage going into the conversations that happen on social media, and then the ongoing nurturing. So if you're an executive in a company or you're one of the people that's being featured from a company that's getting elevated, it's important to occasionally just reach out to people you're working with and just give them something that's, you know, give, right? Give them something that's of value, has nothing to do with sales. So if you have some people that might've been prospects or even said no, reach out to them and actually take the time to say, hey, I think they like this conference that I have nothing to do with. Send it to them. Here's a book because you remember some kind of conversation that you had while, you know, or you saw some posts and, hey, listen, I read this book. You should check it out. Or send them one. I don't know. Or here's a Kindle $10 thing off. Go download it. I would get it. Do things that actually add value to the conversation to people and actually make them feel like you actually care, because you will actually care if you're doing that, because it doesn't just happen. And when you do that, then you've positioned yourself to be a better evangelist for your company because people are trusting you. You become relevant to them. And then when they're ready to buy, they will actually come to you and you don't have to sell them anything. Okay. That does not happen overnight. It takes a strategy and it takes focus and it takes some consistent effort.
That's interesting. So what do you think is the future of marketing?
To me, it's leveraging AI in, AI will be present for sure in how you create content, specifically how you analyze it and optimize it. No doubt about it, technology-led will be a way to market to people faster, to get to them quicker, to be more relevant. Profile of one kind of idea where every person can have content tailored to them based on a lot of data people have on them. That's for sure going to happen. I think there'll also be some type of what I called almost like the record player, right? There's going to be people who are going to be like, I don't want anything to do with this AI written content. I'm only working with people who write it from scratch, creative, because it will become pretty authentic and it'll be noticeable. I think from a brand standpoint, that's how some companies do it. And that's what they want. And they'll be like, it's almost like the Apple Android. So I think you'll have this vintage record playing group, so to speak, that won't use the technology. They'll just, you know, they'll build it. But for no doubt, I think marketing becomes, you're going to have to create more and more and more. So the social media is definitely, you know, posts are out of the feed loops quicker. They want more original content. It's just more, more and more. And as you get open source social media, you get other, you know, your website, you're going to have to be able to scale that. So technology is the only answer because you can't do it with people. So no doubt the future involves AI and it involves some other automation technologies as well.
How do you cultivate creative excellence in a company?
It's in the people you hire for sure. And how you lead, you know, don't hire assholes. That's for one. Start with that. Hire people who care about themselves as well as your, if you don't care about yourself, you're not going to probably care about a customer much. So it starts with the people. So everything's human led to some degree. And then the partners you pick too. So if you're picking technologies that, you know, you might need help, their culture's terrible. Like you don't work with those companies, take another choice. It's in all those decisions of how you set up your organization to be sustainable and to breathe and kind of grow as a company. All our team members have to clone themselves. So we say the beer truck rule, you step out of the bar because you had a good week and then all of a sudden you're done. Who's picking up your torch? So I'm applying the same rules I apply to my corporate world is make sure you're replaceable at any point, not because I want to replace you, because I want to make sure you can grow and go do more things. At the same time, if you get hit by that beer truck, I do need to replace you. And so that's how you build that. And then the culture of it is, you know, we went to a 4-day work week from day one. And I told the teams, you figure out how to cover it. Everyone's, you know, customers got to be covered, but figure out your 4-day work week and I don't need to know about it. Effectively relative to, let's say, other companies, people on our team get 52 days off, right? They're getting every week a day off. And I just go do it. Have fun. You like have a life. And so balancing work life is super important, I think, to building excellence, because then people want to show up. They're not like, I want to go to another job. I'm tired of this. This is boring. you give people some freedom to breathe and be creative and be with their families and friends, the customers will feel that benefit of them being happier as well.
And how could a business now, maybe looking at this podcast, elevate their executive efforts?
Yeah, there's really five kind of key components you need to do. You have to make your personal brand image shine. Not that mine's perfect, but if you use, let's say, just LinkedIn as an example, make sure your image looks good. Make sure you have a video that shows some personality there. Make sure your banner image is not just a pretty picture of a lake, but it's like, you know, it tells me kind of what to do and who you are and what you stand for. You know, and your profile is like just in the personal brand side. Don't tell me your title. Tell me what you do for customers. Tell me what the outcomes are and how people benefit. Like, give away the information of what you do to benefit when people interact with you, not me, me, me. So that's one. Your corporate brand image is a similar strategy of what do you do for the customers? What do you do for the industry? How does it look and feel? And how does it compare then to your personal brand image that aligns to it? And so that's two, corporate and personal brand image. Another one is thought leadership. So go on podcasts, go contribute to other people's dreams of and other people's initiatives. So, you know, go try to promote the Jimbo Paris, you know, podcast. Go on a YouTube video, you know, promote someone else's something. So do things around thought leadership, write an article, go speak at a conference. Those create messaging. So the things you say in your messages to people back and forth, or even in some sections of your social media, make sure that is unique, differentiating somewhat in your personality, but not cliche. Another one is your content. Make sure you're doing it regularly. Continually, you know, put this stuff into the customer's voice and brand, but you need to be consistent with what you create there. And that's all driven in the beginning by a goal and a strategy, right? You need to have those things of why you're out there in social media. Why are you doing the business? Why are you in the job you are? What do you want to be? What are you willing to give up to get there? Who are you willing to get out of your life? Who do you need to have in your life? All these kind of things need to be as part of your strategy. And you put all that together, you will raise your presence to the world. The people that you're in the order of who it's going to bug the most, first, you're going to be needing to, at some point, if you have a goal 12 months ago to become this, let's say, recognized leader in something, well, today you're going to have to start doing it. You're going to have to be maybe a specialist and an enthusiast and an expert, but you're going to be really uncomfortable when you start doing all these things and you're being presenting yourself maybe more than you kind of are, though you might inside feel like you're there. You're going to be the most uncomfortable, followed by the people closest to you who know you and like, are you really? It's not lying, but you're just trying to get information out of yourself that you know is there, and you're trying to articulate it on a megaphone so you could be where you're going to be. But the cool thing is when you do this, when you do the corporate brand, thought leadership content, and have a strategy, as you interact with new people, that's how they'll see you. That you will be expanding your network because you'll be presenting yourself in a much more professional, elevated light. And the new people that interact with you only see you that way. And the people that were closest to you will start seeing you that way. And finally, eventually, you'll see yourself that way. You'll be the last. That's how you do it. It takes time. It's not something that happens overnight, and it's thoughtful. And anybody who's going to be in a professional career or be an entrepreneur needs to do it early. If you Google my name in the US, I pretty much have the whole entire first page. If you put the AI nerd, which was very intentional, if you're in any country, specifically Germany, I get the whole page. And so be smart about how you brand yourself personally and your stuff, and it'll pay off when people check you out. You'll check out. I just noticed my quotes is wrong. Look, I can't type. See, I am the king of typos. You should know this, Jimbo. I had to get a keyboard that was desensitive because my team says my typos are legendary, and I think I'm going to have to get a t-shirt that says "Typos are colo." If you don't, typos are cool. Anyway.
Okay.
Or Typos Ruel. Ruel, yeah.
Oh, speaking of quotes.
Oh, quotes. Okay, sorry.
What motivational quote can you give to entrepreneurs to sort of wrap up this amazing interview?
I mean, it's Yoda. It's do or do not. There is no try. Just get out there and do it. You're talking about the thing you're going to do, or one day I'm going to go. It never happens. Just go do it. And just, it's not a failure if you, because you're going to mess up, and that's the whole point. You're figuring out what's you and what you're doing. So just get out there and do it. Try it. Do it. Don't try it, I mean. And then evolve. Don't lose sight of the opportunities around you while you chase whatever goal you're chasing. So if things need to pivot. It makes sense. But go do it. Don't talk about it.
Okay. Well, again, I'm happy to have you here. It really was a privilege, Mr. Helfrich. You know, I'm thankful for you to come on the show and provide your high level of expertise in today's marketing world. And are there any final words you would like to provide to the audience? Any shout outs, anything involving your podcast, your website, or anything else you'd like to deliver here?
That's kind of, you know, it's the, if you connect through me with LinkedIn or through instantlyrelevant.com and you actually schedule time, I still offer my time. I still meet people in my network as they connect. I'm authentic in that regard. And I would, you know, if you have a story of a question, just jump on and we'll just talk about you and learn. So, you know, I always say thanks to my team for everything they do to help produce all the content. And, you know, I used to be 30 hours a week in social media. Now I'm one across four brands. And that happens because the teams, you know, help cover, do everything basically. And yeah, just instantlyrelevant.com and say schedule time or connect with me or whatever you like. And you got it. Contact us. That should work. One of those should work. Thank you so much for having me on, by the way. This has been great. I appreciate the time and the consideration very much.
I like you. This was a good interview. I felt good about this. Just to finish this off here, I'm just going to do a few quick shout outs. The first shout out is going to be to LifeWork Systems. This is our affiliate partner, collaborative partner. She's essentially an HR superstar. She goes into businesses, improves their employee relationships, interprets emotions, tries to make sure everyone is happy, everyone is getting along, and makes the business sort of a better collegial environment for everyone. So if you want to check her out, speak to me, send me an email, and I could refer to you her very easily, right? The next thing I'd like to mention here is going to be, again, let's come up there, YouTube. Subscribe now. We are slowly growing in subscribers. So again, ring that bell if you want more great episodes such as the one here I've had with Mr. Helfrich. And next thing I'd like to mention is we also have a TV channel. We are available on Roku. This will be on Roku a bit later, but the live show will be out soon now. So again, check that out there. Get a Roku box. Obviously not just for this show, but get a Roku box for this show and anything else you'd like to see on Roku. And then I think this is the last thing we have to talk about here. It is the Jimbo Paris Services. We are essentially a consultant / marketing service provider agency. We obviously do something different from Instantly Relevant. We sort of focus more on creative content for younger age groups and corporate businesses to maybe attract people who may not be traditionally attracted to a corporate business. So again, reach out to me. We can help produce content, promote content for you, and also, again, help you out. Okay. I am Jimbo Paris, and this is the Jimbo Paris Show.
Thank you for listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.